From deep inside the Death Star, I'm Chad Beter.
And I'm Andrew Richards.
And welcome to Defrag Tools. And today we're going to be talking about scheduling tasks, yep. Various ways of scheduling
tasks. Task scheduler, schedule tasks.
We've got a lot of different tools to do this now.
Yeah.
And we'll kind of run those down, see what happens.
Yeah, so, schedule tasks. I'm pretty sure everybody's going to knows really what they are. We got a bit of a rejig back in 7 or 8. They changed from a version 1 API to a version 2. Mm-hmm. Added triggering is one of the things they added so that you can start a schedule task when your network cable plugs in.
I think they redid this heavily in Vista. Yeah. And then it's probably minor changes since then.
Yeah, a lot of NT services got turned into scheduled tasks. That way they only run when the need arises rather than sitting there all the time going poll, stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's a hierarchy like the performance monitor, so you can actually give it a namespace now where before it was a bit more flat. Microsoft has all its ones in the Microsoft tree. These ones have been caused by MSIT and stuff like that. And then the root is the ones in the root. There's a couple in here for me. This is where you'd put your own personal one. So like last week when I was saying that I have this script that runs every week that pulls down internal files.
Oh right, yeah, you mentioned.
This is where I put
you
that.
You just added in here, and you just created that through the UI this way.
Yeah, you go over here, new, and
create basic task.
Away you go and run it daily at 2 a.m. ish every day. Start a program.
There's a couple options there. I know it said deprecated, but they still seem to be available. They just don't want you using them anymore.
Yeah, I might do. Or actually, something like you make a command script, and
there you go.
Done. And now that's now running as a daily task.
And one of the things that people sometimes kind of overlook about task schedulers, because you think of it as running things on a particular time schedule, but it had options in there for like after the user logs on and things like that.
Yeah, and that's where the power came in the version 2 API, I think.
Yeah, that was new, I think, in Vista. I remember they added that. And so in a way, this can also be used to kind of auto-launch programs similar to what you use with, you know, the startup folder or things like that.
So we can say, you know, on an event and then choose something from the event log. We can do... when it goes idle, you know, log on is a common one.
Log on or
start. It replaces like the run key. You do it as a scheduled task instead.
Right. Although the run key only runs during log on, so the at startup I think will even run if no user is logged on.
Workstation lock. You might want to pause audio or something when you lock the PC or something or whatever.
Pretty powerful.
And task creation. So there's lots of things you can trigger on. And then you can do certain things, and then you can qualify it and qualify it more, and then see what the history is. So it's pretty simple. I mean, it's one of those things where you just kind of learn yourself.
Yeah, it's not mostly pretty self-explanatory, I think. I think that the thing that might confuse people is if they've got things in here that they didn't know about and it can explain some strange behavior.
Yeah, which is actually what we can do for the second one is, we're going to go over the tools kind of more than the usage of it. So this run auto runs. So auto runs is another one that can give you a view of the scheduled task, much like the MMC can.
And we did a whole episode on auto runs. If you want, you can go back and find that one in our archives.
Yeah, so here's the scheduled task tab, and here's all the ones we see. Actually, before we went in here, went to options and actually did the reverse of normal, and I actually unchecked everything, so we're seeing all the scheduled tasks. But if I hide, you know, Microsoft and Windows, what we're going to get left with is a couple which have been flagged as that's a bit weird because it's got no description or publisher. Mm-hmm. And so that's why marked them as pink. Some that are missing, well, this is from group policy type idea. This happens to be scheduled tasks rather than group policy. So they want four different tasks to do with that. Realtek is doing something. Now, I don't think there's a Realtek icon, so it might be something else.
CPL.
You haven't turned my machine in for a while. Here's the one we just made that sad.
Flagging it as yellow because it doesn't exist either.
Yeah, now I'm not a fan of, particularly when it comes to scheduled tasks, I'd be more inclined to use this task scheduler MMC rather than auto runs to delete it.
Oh, okay.
Because you know, you're not really sure whether it's 100% correct. Well, you know over here is going to be right. Do a rescan and that SS, a sad one will disappear.
Yeah, maybe these ones up here are actually found, but because they're using these variables, this user DNS domain, it may be that AutoRuns is not quite figuring out what that resolves to.
Yeah, you mustn't have expanding script support.
Could be a limitation in AutoRuns.
Yeah. So they're the GUI ways of seeing it. I think AutoRuns is a great way of looking for non-Microsoft ones quickly, but do the management as in UI-wise in Task Scheduler. Mm-hmm. The other options are a bit older, and let's bring up a command prompt. So back in the day, there used to be a command called at, which was used for eons, right?
It was kind of our old command line way to just schedule something. It was pretty easy because you could just give it one thing at this time, run this, and it would just go do it.
And we looked it up and it was deprecated in Windows 8. So it's only recently it got booted. Now it's actually still there. So if you put a question mark on it, you can, all your old scripts are still going to work.
Yeah.
But it's not the suggested way of doing it anymore.
I think they probably did that as a first step towards taking it out in a future version. It
probably is some weird plumbing behind the scenes. It's probably translating V1 calls into V2 and hits limitations and a bit fragile. It's deprecated, and I wouldn't be surprised that in VNext or something, maybe it's completely
gone. So I wouldn't create anything new with this. If you have old stuff that uses this, it probably still works, but you may want to consider changing that.
Yeah. So schedule tasks, is it plural? By default, gives you a query of everything. I ran it in the administration command prompt, so we're going to see all users detail.
We were noticing earlier when you just run it at a regular command prompt, you only see your own tasks and not everybody's.
So there's, for example, three Office 15s because there's three users logged on right now on this laptop, and you can see the three up here. But if we use a normal command prompt, I'm just going to quickly go across to PowerShell. Task path. You'll see that I only see one because as a lowly user, I don't see everybody's.
Yeah.
So show tasks is a replacement for at. That by default, it does a query, which is a nice and quick way of seeing what's on the box. Great for scripting, that type of stuff.
Seems like it's much more powerful than at. I think there's probably more features.
Yeah, and you can do something that we've shown a couple of times is there's a command, an exe called clip. And it's part of, it's just an exe, part of Windows. And if we grab that output, which is kind of verbose, we can put it onto the clipboard.
I did not know that.
And so if you now bring up that and go Control V, we now have.
Wow.
You can do it with any command. With something that scrolls like that, much easier. And particularly when, so I haven't turned my machine off for a while. particularly when you don't really want to put it out to a text file just to open it up and view
it's just
it.
Just a quick thing.
You don't end up with these t.txt everywhere on your hard drive.
That's pretty really cool. Yeah, I did not know about that.
Clip. So yeah, schedule task itself has a whole lot of commands. The first one that we saw, the SPU that came out, is query. We can task, I think it's TH, I might be task name, TN. And we're at Realtek.
RTKCPL, I think it was.
What is it?
It was RTKCPL.
TN? It is TN.
Oh, yeah.
Realtek,
CPL 64.
And so we can pull out one individual entry we want with a query command. We can also do what add does and do creates and deletes and all that type of stuff and run and end. Yeah. So that's a very command prompty way of doing it.
Yeah.
creation is complex now. There's triggers, there's all these what you're going to run, and all these other things. So PowerShell also has this support, and I think it's a little bit cleaner than trying to run it through the command prompt way of doing it. There's a balance though, right? I mean, if you're just running exes, it's easy to do that.
Yeah.
But if you're trying to do a whole lot of scripting stuff, then PowerShell's...
Mm-hmm. Might want to write a little script in PowerShell.
So the way it looks like in PowerShell is there's actually a page, a whole lot of PowerShell commandlets available, and you're going to be using your new scheduled task. And you actually have to make a task, and then you have to attach triggers and settings and all these other things to it. So what I'm going to quickly do is just show it to you clean. And then let's get the scheduled task, and we'll grab that RTK CPL one. So, and we can format it out into the list. And you can see that it's got settings as a collection underneath it, security principles a collection, and also triggers. So this one thing actually has all of them. Sometimes it can be null. And when it comes to PowerShell, you want to kind of get away from the command line a bit. So let's turn that into a variable so I don't have to have like 20 characters on the front of every command, like piping, piping, piping.
Mm-hmm.
So now T is equal to that same thing. And then what we can do is we can ask it to format itself, which is the same thing. And now it's easier to just go dot settings. And we can see what the settings are. We can see what the triggers are. I think the other one was the principle, wasn't it? Yeah, principle.
Principle.
And the principle. Now, the reason why I point out that this object contains these members is the PowerShell has to match that. So you actually make all these objects and attach them all together. And so it's not like just like one command. It's like three or four commands built up.
Right.
That give you the answer, or they give you the effect. So what we wanted to do is start with this new scheduled task command. And way down the bottom, bless them, is they've given you an example right here. So you make an action, and we call that A. We make a trigger, we call that T. We make a principal, the person who it's running as.
Mm-hmm.
And then we make a settings set. So something able to hold all those together, or the settings to help it along.
Mm-hmm.
And then we make a scheduled task. And then here's the four objects we made, mm-hmm. the action, the principle, the trigger, and the settings. So much like what I queried out in PowerShell the other way, the get approach,
mm-hmm.
it made a task. Now, this gives you a task, a definition of a task. A task can exist without it actually being in the repository, right? So you actually can now then go run task, percentage D, and it would run it.
Oh,
so
without actually
registering
it in.
Yeah, so you can test it that way, right? You run it, test it, get it the way you like it, and then when you finally have it working, you then register it on the box.
Right, okay.
All right, and then same thing goes in reverse. You unregister it to remove it from the box. So it's a little bit more object orientated, a mm-hmm. little bit more power, particularly if you're doing a lot more shared stuff, you might want to have a lot of these variable sharing and making multiple tasks up.
And I assume you can have this run on remote computers and things like that.
If PowerShell has that.
IT admin, you can. Yeah. So this is very powerful for sort of that IT admin kind of scenario.
Yeah, you could do a little mini audit thing. You could take, just run out the scheduled tasks across all these machines for a particular reason, and then the next time a person logs on, find out how much RAM was left on the box and report that back at that point in time and stuff
right.
like that. So yeah, scheduled tasks, quite complex. From a C language point of view, which I've done in the past, very complex. But attainable. Mm. Personally, I would be using scheduledtask.exe if you're going to be calling out to something, or I'll be using PowerShell to be doing maintenance, only for scripted maintenance. I wouldn't be doing that general day usage.
Right.
Use auto runs to detect or just enumerate what you've got, what's abnormal, what's not Microsoft,
mm-hmm.
and then use the task scheduler UI to actually to delete it or modify it. Scheduled tasks are great. I use them a lot to keep my machine up to date, nice and tidy. A lot of NT services got turned into scheduled tasks, so don't be afraid that there's 100 of them. It's a good thing, not a bad thing.
It's just kind of how we architected it now, uses this heavily.
Yeah, I think like disk defragmentation is a good example, so that's under Microsoft. You know, this used to be, here's the disk defrag, and it's not even triggered, it hasn't even got a trigger, because actually what happens is maintenance runs, and maintenance fires the scheduled task when it decides.
Right.
Right, so you can have things that define work that actually aren't queued to go.
Kind of like what you were doing with the, well, I guess you'd still have to register it with the PowerShell
yes.
to get it in here.
Yeah, to get into here.
Well, yeah, because with that one, if you hadn't registered it, as soon as you close that PowerShell
window,
it's gone.
It's just
gone.
Objects, yeah.
Right.
But, you know, it's a good way of queuing stuff up, and you, if you have no trigger, then it won't ever run. You don't have to leave it disabled then. You can just leave it in the ready state, but just it just won't fire. And then go, all
you
right.
You can use that. There was even a run command with
the
schedule task.
Yeah.
.exe.
Yeah.
And you can manually run them that way.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Quite
very
powerful.
Yeah. It's, you know, I think a lot of people overlook just the complexity and power of this whole sort of infrastructure that was put in there. You know, in the past, going back to like the XP days, scheduled tasks were pretty simple, and it was kind of like on a time schedule something runs, and now it's very much more sophisticated.
Well, it's like updating software, right? I mean, before people would have written an entity service, and that was just sat there the whole day just to fire once every 24 hours to say, do I have updates?
Right.
Now you just do it.
Some of them still do that.
Yeah.
Not to name any names, but I have some third-party things on my system.
But yeah, there's no reason why you can't run it as a scheduled task as when the person logs in or on a daily cadence.
Yeah.
The good thing about scheduled tasks is they have a credential, right? It's like an entity service, right? You can say, you know, run it as a particular user or as the interactive user. With or without privilege, see down here. So you can say it will or won't run with elevated privileges if it's available. So a very good balance of security and usefulness and not wasting memory on programs that just don't need to run all the time.
Very cool. All right. Well, that's our show for this week. As always, if you have questions or comments, put them in the show notes right down there. Or email us, defragtools@microsoft.com. And we'll be back next week with Something interesting. It may be very technical. We'll see. We'll see you next week. Thanks for watching.
Have a good week.
Bye.